Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus' conversation with the rich man in today's reading teaches us that eternal life is not to be found in ourselves, in our works, or in our possessions. Rather, eternal life is found only in Jesus. We know that truth already, don't we? That eternal life is found only in Jesus. We're Lutherans, after all. We believe that the article of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, is the article upon which the church stands or falls. Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession says it so clearly. Our churches teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith, when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. So since we know that already, that eternal life is found only in Jesus, then there's really no need for us to examine this story more closely, is there? The rich man was wrong when he asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus showed him he was wrong. He showed him that eternal life is to be found not through our works, but through faith in him. By following him, by following Jesus, by placing one's faith in him, both for this life and for the life to come. End of story, right? Maybe I should just stop here so that we have a little more time for coffee and to finish up studying and getting those last minute assignments done for the week. Well, not quite. For even though we know this truth, that eternal life is found only in Jesus, I think it's important for us to hear it again and again. In fact, I don't think that we can hear it enough. Our sinful nature, the old Adam inside of us, is always seeking a way to take some credit for our salvation. Now, we may not be as brash as this rich man was in openly proclaiming that we have fulfilled all of God's commandments, but we still like to think that we are pretty good nonetheless. As an example, just read or listen to some of the eulogies and tributes that are given even at Christian funerals. And so this story is important in reminding us personally that eternal life is found only in Jesus. This story serves another important purpose as well, especially for those of us who desire to be teachers in Christ's church. For it reminds us of the importance of teaching that truth to others. For you see, the people you will one day be called to serve also need to hear that eternal life is found only in Jesus. We live in a world, or maybe I should say a society at the very least, where people don't tend to think about eternal life all that much, and when they do, they often have misguided notions about it. Now, there are exceptions, of course, but generally, unless a person is near death, matters of eternity don't seem to be at the forefront of their minds, as it was for the rich man in today's reading. And it's precisely here where, despite his faults and shortcomings, that we can learn from his example. Jesus' conversation with the rich man is recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, another clue as to its importance for the life of the church. And St. Mark, in his account of this story, adds this small yet significant detail. He tells us specifically that Jesus, after listening to the rich man, loved him. Mark tells us that Jesus loved him, and I think I understand why, for I have a soft spot in my heart for him too. For you see, in my time in the parish, I didn't encounter many people like him. I don't remember anyone asking me how to inherit eternal life. Maybe they knew already through faith in Christ, and I'm sure that was the case for many of them. But I also wonder if the question didn't come up because people, even Christians, don't generally think much about the things of heaven. Rather, we tend to be caught up in the things of this world. In my congregation, I heard plenty of questions about life in the here and now. For example, should we discontinue our Thursday night summer worship service because of low attendance? Perhaps more important, should we keep our day school open because of declining enrollment and finances? And the ongoing question, Pastor, what are we going to do if we can't make our budget this year? They were all important questions. But when it came to matters of eternity, questions of eternity, I didn't hear too many of those. Now, I don't say that as a criticism of my people, for it's so easy to do, isn't it, to focus on the here and now? For that's the time in which we live. I suspect most of you right now aren't focused too much on eternity. Not that you don't care about it, it's probably just not on your radar screen at the moment. Rather, you're trying to figure out how you'll complete your assignments, how you'll study for your final exams, and then how you'll pay for next quarter's tuition. They're all good concerns. And yet, at the end of the day, they pale in comparison to the one thing we ultimately need: eternal life in heaven. Our life in this world, with all its cares and accomplishments, will pass away. The only thing that matters when death calls is whether there will be life for us beyond the grave. And I think that's why Jesus loved this man. For of all the people Jesus came in contact with, he was one of the few that was focused on the right thing: eternal life. Think of the irony. Most of the religious leaders of Jesus' day were very much caught up in the things of this world, making sure people followed their rules, and more important, making sure their place of prominence and status in society was maintained. But I don't see a hint of that in this man. This man desired the love of God, not the love of man, and Jesus loved him for it. For unlike the scribes and Pharisees who are trying to find a way to take Jesus' life, this man came to Jesus to obtain life. And that's what makes the story so sad and heartbreaking too. For as much as this man loved God and as much as he desired eternal life, it turned out that he loved the things of this world even more. His possessions became an idol to him. He was unwilling to leave them behind and place his faith in Jesus, to follow Jesus, and thereby receive the one thing he desperately wanted: eternal life. He didn't realize that eternal life is not a prize to be earned, but a gift to be received. He didn't realize that eternal life is to be found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. When you leave Concordia Theological Seminary to become pastors and deaconesses in Christ Church, I don't know how many people you will encounter whose first question to you will be, pastor, deaconess, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I suspect there won't be too many. But whether your people ask you about the lofty things of heaven, or whether they want to talk with you about mundane things like church budgets and congregational bylaws, your task is to help them to see beyond the things of this world to the life of the world to come. Your task will be to help them to see Jesus, the one who suffered, died, and rose again for them, that by faith they may know him as their Savior from sin, death, and hell. In short, your calling, your vocation will be to teach them God's word and to bring them to his sacraments, that by the working of the Holy Spirit they may come to know and believe that eternal life is to be found only in Jesus. For whether people want to think about it or not, questions of life and death, heaven and hell, are of utmost concern to all of us. We can't escape death or the truth that death may come for us at any moment. Martin Luther spoke about this in one of his sermons. He wrote, "The summons of death comes to us all, and no one can die for another. Everyone must fight his own battle with death by himself alone. We can shout into another's ears, but everyone must himself be prepared for the time of death, for I will not be with you then, nor you with me. Therefore, everyone must himself know and be armed with the chief things that concern a Christian." Pastoral and diaconal care is ultimately the task of teaching our people the chief things that concern a Christian. Through the proclamation of law and gospel, we are to help them to see their sin, to understand their need for salvation, and by grace, that they may know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We are to be about the business of preparing our people to die in faith, so that they know and believe that eternal life is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. The calling that you are pursuing is not an easy one. In fact, if it depended on our own reason and strength, it would be impossible. But Jesus says that what is impossible with men is possible with God. And although you have left much to come to this seminary to follow Jesus, Jesus gives you this great promise. He promises you, as he promised his first disciples, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." My friends, what joy there is in knowing that you will have eternal life not only with Jesus, but also with all those whom the Lord, through your labor, will bring into his kingdom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.